back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. During the Vietnam War, James Pollock entered combat zones armed with a .45 pistol, canteen, camera, and sketchbook. He was one of 46 U.S. Army soldiers commissioned to chronicle the war as a part of the Vietnam Combat Art Program. After 2 months accompanying soldiers on patrol, they shipped to studios in Hawaii to finish their work, which became property of the U.S. Army Art Collection at the U.S. Army Center for Military History. This was the beginning of Pollock's career as a professional artist. And although over the years he's worked in a variety of styles and painted a variety of subjects, the pure artist is perhaps best known as a landscape artist who paints on location outside, what's known as plein air. There's an exhibit of his small works on paper at the East Bank Art Gallery in Sioux Falls. His work is also included in the Artists of the Black Hills exhibit at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. And on Saturday morning, he'll discuss his experiences in the Vietnam Combat Art Program during a meeting of the Black Hills Veterans Writing Group. He joins us on the line. And Mr. Pollock, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, in looking through your art and going through your history, I'm curious as to how far back your interest in art goes. Is this something that you've been doing for as long as you can remember?
Oh yeah, I've been interested in art since I was a little kid. I got my first oil paint set when I was eighth grade, and then took to the fields with that. So I've been doing this a long time. I majored in art at South Dakota State University when I went there, and from after I graduated from college, I went into the Army, and then this opportunity for being on the Army's Vietnam Combat Art Program popped up, and I hopped on that.
And why did you want to be a part of that? Because, as I understand it, you weren't in Vietnam at the time. You were in Korea.
No, I was in a safe spot in Korea, really nice duty. I worked in a post office. And one day, a friend of mine came in to the window. I worked the window a lot. And he says, well, Pollock, I know you're an artist. He says, you might be interested in this. And he handed me something out of Stars and Stripes that told that the Army was looking for applicants for the Vietnam Combat Art Program. And, of course, when I'd gone to South Dakota State, at that time, it was before the South Dakota Art Museum was built, and they had all of the Harvey-done paintings that were hanging in the Student Union, and I used to go up there and study a lot. And every once in a while, I probably spent more time looking at those paintings than I did studying. But there was a few in there that had war scenes, and I really didn't know what that was all about. And so I did a little studying on Harvey Dunn at that time, and I found out that he had been a war artist in World War One, and I knew what this whole thing was all about right away, from a historical point of view.
So you saw this as doing something that was historically significant?
Yes, yes. And South Dakota, it turns out, has quite a significant amount of this war art stuff going on. I mean, it was Harvey Dunn in World War One, and there's two of us, myself and Steve Randall, who lives in Sioux Falls now. He did the same thing as he was on Team 7. I was on Team 4. And Heather Engelhart went over to Iraq, and she did a similar thing for that. And of course, the Indians, they had that effigy that's been traveling around the world. That was actually a piece of war art. It was warrior about to honor some horse, I think, is what it was about. So it was a piece of war art itself.
The horse effigy, that's the symbol of the historical society.
So there's quite a and then the coup counts the Indians did, that was all war arts things. Lance Nixon of the Capital Journal did a series. As a matter of fact, he won an award on it, and that series is on the war art of South Dakota, and he's done four or five segments on that, and one of them was on me, and one of them was on Steve, and one was on Heather, and then one was on the Indian part of the deal.
In looking at the use of art, wondering what that does in helping us understand war, particularly compared to, say, photographs of war.
Well, that's a hard one. It pops up all the time. Excuse me. It pops up quite a bit of what the difference between a photograph and the art is. And I think the artist has a chance to put a little more emotion into it, and he also can focus on one other thing. A camera takes a shot in time, and I think an artist can take a shot of history and maybe, you know, put some things in there that you don't have in a photograph, some emotional feeling to it that just doesn't come up with a photograph. And it's just another historical point of view, you know, as writing, and there's even been some poetry, war art, and it's just another point of view for how to cover a war.
So how did this work, being a member of the Vietnam Combat Art Program? You were a member of a team, and then you were sent and spent, a few days with different units?
Yeah. The program ran from 1966 to 1970, and there was a total of nine teams, and typically each team had five members on it, although Team 1 had six on it. And that was the only one that had six, and I found out later why that had six. But typically, you'd go to Vietnam. I was a unit in Korea, and I would go TDY to Vietnam for 60. Typically, it was 60 days. It wasn't cut in mud or you know, how many days you were going to be over there. But that was how long I was over there, and that's what most of them were. And then you would go to Hawaii for 75 days in a nice spot to do your finish work. Now, while we were in Vietnam, we had open travel orders, and we'd travel with the unit and do whatever they were doing. For instance, if they're out tramping around in the jungle, that's what we did. Or if they were passing out bandages to people in villages, that's what we did. So we did whatever the unit we were at the time we were with them were doing, and then we'd go back. We had our main headquarters was back at Long Bend, and we had a little barracks there, and that was where we would kind of, after we went with the unit, we would go back there and regroup, and then we'd go out again.
So you were, making sketches of the things that you saw?
Yeah, everybody had their sketchbooks. We had cameras. The Army issued us a Kodak instant camera, so we all had cameras and sketchbooks with me. And typically what I carried with me was a pen and ink. That's what I use most. Some of them, Roger Blum, he was on Team 1. He was a watercolorist, and he said he used a Prang, one of those little kids Prang watercolor he carried with him. That's what he carried with him. But I use primarily pen and ink and Indian ink. I use a rapidograph pen for my sketchbooks.
Were you allowed to go anywhere that the troops, the soldiers, were going, or were you limited in what you could portray and where you could go?
We were allowed to go anywhere we wanted to. Typically, the historical people in Long Bend were in charge of us, and they'd suggest maybe you go this unit or go that unit. But once we were on the road, we had these open travel orders, and we could go, they were called, you know, we could go wherever we wanted. And so if we went to a unit and we didn't think we wanted to, you know, spend our time there, we'd switch and go to another unit. There was no, we pretty much had all the freedom to do what we wanted, to paint what we wanted. As a matter of fact, they encouraged us to use our own styles. And I think that's one of the things that came out of this Vietnam War combat art program is there was 46 artists, and each one of them had a different style. Some were really tight realistically, and others were borderline abstract, and there's some really some pieces that came out of there that I would consider anti-war pieces. They're in the Army's collection. You probably won't see them that often, but they're in the Army's collection, and they didn't censor them or anything like that.
What did the soldiers think about what you were doing? You know, you were with them for two or three days, and then you were gone.
Yeah, well, the soldiers were really good to us. We were like a diversion to them. You know, we'd come into a unit, especially the field units that were out tramping around in the jungle. And I think they had fun with us a lot of times, you know. I mean, one time I was out with a unit, and it was really hot, and we were going through a jungle, and we ended up going through a stream, and I got out of the stream, and everybody was sitting down drinking water, and they said, well, you better take your shoes and socks off. And I said, well, I wasn't going to do that. And they told me to lift up my pant leg, and I did, and there was leeches all over the place. And so then they all started laughing, you know. And so everybody sat around picking their leeches off. I didn't know anything about that sort of thing.
So how do you think your experiences as a member of the Vietnam Combat Art Program has affected the work and the paintings that you do today, and everything in between that time and today?
Well, I don't think it really had an effect on what I do, other than it helped me focus. I was really young at the time; I was 22 years old, and it encouraged me to focus on my art and to do it more. And I did get quite a bit of publicity out of it when I came back. It's helped my, over the years, the publicity from being on that program has helped my career. And we've had several, you know, pretty good major shows that all the artists kind of get together. In 1978, we had one at the Robinson Museum here. It was a war art. But in 2000, the Indianapolis Art Center had one. I went out to that, and Steve Randall did too. In 2010, the National Constitution Center had mounted a huge show, and I went out to that. And there's quite a few of the artists that were on these teams came to that Philadelphia show at the National Constitution Center.
Have you ever met again with some of the soldiers from the units that you were with in Vietnam? Just wondering if they've seen your art, what they thought of it.
Yeah, well, it's always been a dream of mine, you know. We met some of the artists from my team, especially. I keep contact with them, and I've pulled together. In 2003, I gave a talk at the Library of Congress about this program, and at that time, I contacted as many of the artists as I could and had them send me photos, and that's what this presentation that I'm going to be giving out in Rapid City is based on, that same one I gave at the Library of Congress. But it's always been a dream of mine to have a show where there was this war art and then the art that the artists are doing now beside each other. For the most part, none of these, I shouldn't say none of them, there was a few of them that did, but very few of the artists continued on doing war art. They all, I mean, Roger Blum was a wildlife artist, and Steve the plein air painter, and all of the artists, John Worley does big billboard murals out in California. But none of them actually do anything that you would remotely consider war art. That's the funny thing. And when they came back, they just left that whole thing behind them and moved on. Some of them no longer were artists. Some of them went into other fields.
Now, you mentioned the plein air painting outside. Is that the kind of work that you're best known for today, the outdoor landscapes?
Well, that's what I've been doing for the last several years. Earlier, back from the late 70s and through the 80s, I had a series of silhouette-type prints that I sold at Mount Rushmore and Waldrug, and we've sold thousands of those all over the country. But that kind of got known for this thing with a red sun in it, and I tried to get away because that's all I was known for. And so in the last few years, I've just been going out and painting, plein air painting outdoors, landscapes, things like that. Yeah.
Now, I mentioned the exhibit, James Pollock, that you have in Sioux Falls, the East Bank Gallery, Small Works on Paper. People who go to that exhibit, what will they see?
They'll see all of the art there is plein air. They're small pieces, they're watercolors, and about 80% of it's done on location. And there's also other artists. There's Dennis Ellison and Jackie Krause. And Ann Anderson are also being featured at the same time there. We had an opening last Friday on the 5th. Man, it had a really big crowd came out. It was really, I was really surprised for a small gallery like that. The East Bank is a association of artists. It's a grassroots operation. It's maintained and operated by artists. It's not owned by a commercial person. And there's a continuing. I couldn't pin down how many artists are where. They said someplace between 12 and 16. It changes as people come and come, people go out of it. But they've been around for about 10 years, is my understanding. They invited me as a. I don't belong to the association, but they invited me as a guest.
Well, Mr. Pollock, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
You're welcome. I really appreciate that.